Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Tonight, we begin a brand new series. As you know, we have a brand new series every month here on the PRF Table, and if this is your first time joining us, know that the PRF Table is a place where we just come to have dialogue every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are so gracious for you to take the time out of your schedule. We're thankful for all of our guests and all of our hosts and all of the listeners that have been with us going on 5 years now. And so without further ado, you know how we always do here at the PRF Table. Before I get started, we always let everybody know who's at the table. We got a guest with us tonight, y'all, but I'm not going to bring her on right now. I'm going to let Mama do what Mama does, which is introduce herself to you and also give her greetings. So Mama, take it away.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, my PRF family. This is Marianne, just call me Mama, and it's just a joy to be with you all this evening, and as I have often said, we really appreciate you coming in and joining with us, and we want you also to join us at the table, and again, we just appreciate you. We don't take you for granted, and we are so thankful that you chose to be with us this evening. Thank you.
Amen, amen. So listen, tonight we are going to be dealing with something very interesting. This whole month, this series is called Fasting for Your Finances. This is episode one. I don't know where it's all going to go. All I know is that we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. We'll say hopefully everything that God has for us to say, and if we don't finish anything up this week, we'll get to it next week. So that's what I love about doing these month long series. One of the things that I put out here was this. We're talking about fasting for finances. That's what we will be dealing with tonight. And I put this caption on our Facebook page and on our website on the Blog Talk Radio spot that says, "So what? You've never been taught this before. God knows you need this." And that came to me so clear, Mama, earlier today, because so many people are dealing with so many things from a financial perspective. And if you've been doing the same doggone thing over and over and over, maybe you need to try something different. And so I will say to all of the skeptics that are out there, what are you talking about fasting for finances? Well, listen, you just keep on doing what you're doing. But there's going to be some of us that's going to say, you know what, I want to try something different. And it doesn't mean that you have to have things in a bad way to fast for your finances. What about fast for your finances that God continues to let you keep the money that you have? What about fasting for your – I'm going too far already. I know it. That's how we do. What about fasting for your finances while things are going good, that you can bless other folks? So that's part of where we're at. And let me just tell you what the dialogue is going to include for this month. We're going to ask a lot of questions. We're going to read several texts, but we're going to ask a lot of questions of the text. And one of the questions is, should you even fast for your finances? I'm not going to tell you that you should. You know your situation. You know what you're going through. But I tell you this, if you fast for other things, why not fast for that? I'll keep going. Why or why not? That's the biggest question. Another thought that I want to put out here just early on is, just because you've never done it before, it doesn't mean that God will not work through it or honor you in it. So if you take the time to fast specifically for your finances, why would God not honor that? And if the answer to that question is God wouldn't honor it, then maybe you're serving the wrong God. I'll keep going. Corporately, will God speak as he did even for your finances? And then lastly, or maybe not last, but I think I want to bring this out as well. If you've tried everything else, if you've done bankruptcy, if you've tried everything else, you borrow money from your family members and friends, if you tried everything else, why not fast? You've tried other things, so that lets me know you have the capabilities inside of you to try things. Again, I know that this is how we do, Mama. We're always swimming in waters that are sometimes too deep for folks, but we're not too deep in what we're talking about. Let's just be real with God. Let's be real with one another, and that's it. Last thing I'll ask you is this. If you've been praying, why not now fast and pray? Some folks have been praying for a long time and have never fasted for their finances, but all they're doing is praying. So we're going to deal with that. So listen, if you're listening, you want to jump into the conversation. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, you know how we always say here on the PR table, everybody has a seat here at this table. Maybe that's some of the problem. You got folks that are sitting around in churches all over the place that have questions about fasting. They got questions about their finances, and they don't have anywhere that they can go to. They don't have any place or anybody that they can ask certain questions on about what we're talking about here on the PRF table. Well, you got a seat at this table. The number is 347-215-7934. If you're listening on our Blog Talk page, if you're listening through Facebook and you want to actually call in and give a comment or a question, then you have the freedom to be able to do that. Now, Mama, listen.
Yes.
We have a guest with us tonight. She is an author. I can't wait till she hits like the number one bestseller list on something. I don't know where the best one to be, Time or Amazon. I don't know. But her name is Renee Higgins, and a remarkable sister who I've had the pleasure of meeting and having plenty of conversations with. I purchased her book. I purchased her workbook. It's called It Was Necessary, Broken for the Master's Use. And so I just want to give her the microphone as we get ready to get into this conversation. Sister Renee, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, tell us just a little bit about yourself so we can go ahead and get into this conversation. Nobody can talk about you better than you, right?
Absolutely. Well, first off, I just want to thank God for being at the table on tonight. I thank God for every listener and for just a time of fellowship. So I'm glad to be here on tonight. My book is It Was Necessary, Broken for the Master's Use. And my book tells the story pretty much of my life. It starts with me in a broken place, and then it ends with me in a healed and restored place. And I'm all about healing and restoration, especially in our finances. I love the topic on tonight, fasting. There's so much to be said about that, even in my book. Even though I was in a horrible situation, horrible marriage, religious, all kinds of adverse situations, I had to fast my way out. So fasting is very much applicable for every situation. And I heard you say something that caught my ears. You mentioned how we fast for everything else, and even though we've never done it for our finances, well, the reality of it is, even when the obvious is there, like you mentioned, bankruptcy and such, I was in obviously a bad situation, an abusive marriage and such. And guess what? I still sought the Lord for direction. So I fasted even through that. Okay, what should I do? The obvious was there, but I still needed to fast my way through it.
One of the things that I think, thank you. So listen, let's just go ahead and get into the conversation. Let's push it to some dialogue. Normally I don't do this, but I just feel that it's necessary for this month. I'm going to do something different that I never do, Mama. I'm going to give everybody the scriptures up front. And let me just tell you, I've been on this meditation kick for a good little while. I'm teaching every third and fourth Wednesday the principles of PRF at a certain church in a certain city. And it's not open to the public. Whoever comes, but it's mainly for that particular church. And one of the things that I'm trying to get across to them is it is important to meditate on the Word of God.
Yes.
I, as a minister, pastor, whatever you want to call me, teacher, whatever, I can say something to you. I can say the Word of God to you. But if you don't do anything with it, shame on you. The Word of God is clear.
Absolutely.
And this is what I had to bring out to him. I said, listen, the reason I asked you on week one to meditate on one of these scriptures, I said, listen, here's five scriptures that deal with the subject we're dealing with. pick the one that speaks to your heart the most, like right now. And I said, just meditate that on that one for the next week. When we come back together next week, we'll talk about it. Started off the next session when we came back together, right? And I said, you know, I was here last Sunday, and I told y'all from the pulpit, for those who were here, y'all had a homework assignment. So on that Wednesday, I get there and started off the Bible study session. And it was kind of interesting because everybody's head was down reading the Bible. And I said, listen, I said, you know, it's kind of interesting that I mentioned about the homework, and it seems like I'm an educator now. That's what I am. I'm an educator. I know that. I said, it's kind of funny that everybody's reading their Bible right now. Everybody's studying right now. Now, you had the assignment already, but now you're not meditating on it. You're just trying to read it so that you can respond to what questions come up and be able to give a response. Well, I'm going to tell you, as we deal with fasting for your finances, this ain't something that you're just going to walk your way into, Renee. It's going to be something that folks are going to have to meditate on, because there's some folks out here. There's some folk out here that's been fasting for years but ain't got no results.
Absolutely.
So I just think that there's something that needs to be done ahead of time. And let me preface it with this. I asked a question earlier. I've just been at this place of where this subject is all day today. And I threw out something. I said, you know, we have to look at the approach that we have to fasting. Let's look at the approach. I said, when you become 16, I know how it was, Mama, when I was growing up. I couldn't wait, yeah. Well, not even 16. I couldn't wait till I got to be 16 years old so I can get my driver's license. So my approach was, how am I going to get the doggone driver's license? Well, the first thing is, I got a 4 test. It's going to be a written test. I can't just go in there the day of and think I'm going to pass the written part of the test, whether you have it electronically or on paper. At that time, it was on paper, of course, I think, and think I'm going to pass. So I had to put some effort into that little book that they gave me. I had to put some effort into the book. The Word of God has so many references to fasting. So why sit up here and do something without looking to the reference to see how fasting was actually done to give you some type of foundation? That's like so much of where I really want us to be tonight. And then the other thing is, not only did I have to take a written test, I had to actually do a road test. So I had to put something in place from what I learned. If the doggone thing says this is how you do a K-turn, if I did it like the shape of an L, I probably wouldn't pass the actual test to get my license. I had to do it like they said to do it. If it says you need to park or drive and stop this many feet before the white line, like I messed up when I had to go retake it again, I didn't pay attention to what was in the book. It's going to be practical. You can't talk about fasting as just some spiritual thing and not think that there's nothing you got to do practically. You got to do it. And nobody tripped out. Think about this. Nobody trips out and says, you know what, I'm 16 years old, DMV. I need you to just go ahead and give me my license. No, Mr. Dunlap. You got to take the test and then you got to do the road test. So there's always stuff that we are so willing to do in the natural. Why can't we do something and have a different approach and do something for God in the spiritual? Y'all jump in whenever y'all want. I'm just there. I know there's some people that's out here hurting. I know that this is not something that God would have us talking about if it wasn't important, if it wasn't designed for some folks that need to hear this. So let's try something. Let's try to deal with one scripture. I'll give it to you. It comes out of Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21. Another scripture is going to come out of Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 29. Both of those are parallel scriptures. Another one's going to be Daniel chapter 1, and another one's going to be Daniel chapter 10. Renee, she gave me one that I was like, ooh, we're going to have to leave this one for week 4, because if we come out the gate with Isaiah 58, we're going to have nobody, Renee, that's coming back for week 2. So don't go read Isaiah 58 right now. Unless you're a seasoned pastor, just don't go reading that right now, because it's going to wreck your head, I promise you. But Renee, let me just get your thoughts. And Mama, let me get your thoughts. Before we go to the text, give us some thoughts, if you will, just your take on fasting. What has it done for you? It doesn't have to be necessarily on finances, but what has it done for you? How has it benefited you? Where were you before? Where are you at right now? And Mama, after Renee, let's hear your thoughts.
Okay, for me.
Hold on, Mama.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Well, one of the things that fasting has definitely done for me is keep me out of my flesh and making non-spiritual decisions. I found that fasting is a way of life. It's a lifestyle for me. And I learned that early in my walk with Christ because I realized that without his help and strength and me constantly denying my flesh, I would constantly be doing things probably pretty contrary to his will for my life. And being in the church and you learn about the different types of fast, and one of the most popular ones is the Daniel's fast. And for years, I just went along with it. You know, they would read the scripture and didn't really teach a whole lot about it. But once I got a thorough understanding, that was a fast I refused to do anymore because I think the whole concept was missed. And I think when fasting, we have to be very intentional. And our fasting has to be full of purpose. It has to be with understanding, not because it's a tradition, not because we're just going to fast because everybody go on a Daniel's fast every February of the year. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. If you don't understand why you're fasting, what the goal is, what the motives are, and who the world was speaking to during that time and why they were so intentional in their fasting, I think it's all kind of fruitless. So you have to know how and why you're fasting. And there has to be such a connection in the spirit realm because it's all about denying yourself. So that's why fasting is important for every aspect of our walk. Emotions, finances, decision-making, everything. Because it's less of us and more of Christ. So fasting for me is simply a way of life, and I think it should be for every believer.
Yes. You know, I got something. Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead. I'm going to hold my mute right
now. She wrapped it up, I'm telling you. As for me, the only thing I can add to that is that it helps me to hear what the Lord is trying to say to me about that particular situation that I'm fasting for because my spirit is more sensitive to God. When I read my word, it seems like I get more revelation. And it just really helps to clear my mind. It's like a cleansing for me.
Okay. So I'm going to hold back my comments, and I'm going to say, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to just do it. I was going to start off at Mark chapter 9, but I'm wrestling with something. Let's deal with Daniel. So we'll come back to Mark and we'll come back to Matthew. They're good where they're at. Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 10. I want us to just look at Daniel chapter 10. So Daniel chapter 10 starts off and says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, who was known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events that were certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. When the vision came to me, this is what he says, I have been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. That's 21 days, right? So verse 2 says, I was in mourning for 21 days. Then verse 3 says, all that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. I'll just stop there. We don't even have to go any further. I think it's safe to say that this whole thing about the Daniel fast has come from these first couple of verses of Daniel, chapter 10, because it specifically said 3 weeks. 3 weeks, 7 times 3 is 21, right? Here's the first thing about this. This was, if you say that this was a fast, right? If you say that, Daniel was doing this by himself.
Absolutely.
This had nothing. This was nothing corporate at all. Again,
no, sir.
Renee, you're going to learn real quick. If folks got a problem with something, they're going to have a problem with the word. It says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Now, here's the thing. It didn't say he was by himself and all that stuff. It just says he was. He was doing this. We know what he was doing. He didn't eat any rich foods. He didn't let any meat, you know, come across his lips or anyone. We got that. He was abstaining from those things. But the vision came to him at the time that he was doing this. So here's my first thing with, and I don't want to beat up the Daniel fast, because I know some folks just really love it and it may work for them. I just ain't got nobody telling us how it works. So I think the issue that I have is this fast is designed for folks to go through it in 21 days. The issue where it doesn't wrap, where I can't wrap my head around this thing with the scripture is, it wasn't that Daniel did a 21-day fast. He was fasting at the time that the vision came for him. It just, to me, it reads, and I see this as, it just happened to come during those 3 weeks, at the end of the 3 weeks. So now my question is, again, I want y'all to jump in here because he's recounting what happened, right? This is Daniel giving his account. So he didn't say I was fasting for 4 weeks and then in the third week, this is what the vision came to me. He was like, look, I was fasting, I was mourning for 3 weeks. I was mourning, and at the time of this vision coming to me, it had been 3 weeks. So I don't even know if this was, like, so planned to be 21 days. My thing is, God will show up, and he will respond at any time that he wants to while you're fasting. Mm-hmm. So if folks, I thought about this whole notion of time. Is this about your timing, or is it God's timing? Because I know people that have been on this fast. I know people that have fasted because their church has said, we're going to fast for 3 days. We're going to fast because before we get to this event. We're going to fast for 30 days before the election. We're going to fast. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, is this thing about a calendar? My calendar. Is this thing about being religious? And don't let me get on to the 40 days before Easter. That's a whole nother subject. That's a whole nother month by itself. I throw that out there so somebody can go read it and be like, what are you talking about? Go read it. So my thing is, I want folk to understand up front that the approach, as I'm seeing it, now this is my opinion, it's not scripture. Why not, it's a suggestion I say, why not let the approach be, I'm going to fast until God, .. Because you may start off on a 21-day fast. I'm going to fast for 21 days. Fast for 21 days. And if God shows you what he needs to show you after week one, what else are you doing?
Absolutely.
What else are you doing? And
I totally agree with you.
I'm going to be quiet. Somebody else talk. I'm going to be quiet because I'm getting excited.
No, I love exactly what you're saying because I'm on the same page with you. I have been on extended fast where I have purpose in my heart where I'm going to go for X amount of days where I'm going to do this and that. But that thing that I was seeking the Lord about, he answered maybe within the first couple of days. So
yeah.
I didn't have to go on an extended fast. I think the church, and because of, I'll just say it, religiosity, we've been conditioned to think a certain way and we kind of have formats. And we'll choose the 3 weeks because that's the normal way to do things, and that's what we've been taught. But I heard you say something that's very true and powerful. When Daniel was given this revelation that he was given, it was happening while he was fasting, the word appears to say. You know,
right.
There was a powerful revelation revealed to him while he was fasting and seeking the Lord. This was his revelation. Didn't have anything to do with anyone fasting with him. He was seeking the Lord. And then we look at how, if we proceed and read the rest of that chapter, we see how the angel came and visited him and spoke to him and told him what to do and how things would work out for him. This was a very specific fast for Daniel. Didn't have anything to do with anyone else. So I think the way that the church deals with it has to be very clear. Teach the whole story. Even the other fast mentioned in Daniel, when he fasted with the other guys for 10 days,
mm-hmm.
I think we just have to be very clear in our teaching and why they were fasting, how they were fasting. There are numerous stories in the Bible as to how different kings set fast in order, and they said, we're going to fast for X, Y, Z. We're going to battle. We're going to fast that the Lord will cause us to prevail. There were different reasons for fast. I said it, but this is so serious to me, and this is with anything we do in the name of the Lord. We have got to be extremely intentional. Otherwise, we're more religious than relational with Christ. And if we're going to look for spiritual rewards, we have to approach things in a spiritual way, not a religious way, but a spiritual way. We have to know what we're doing and why we are doing it. And a lot of our understandings will become a lot clearer if we will take time to study the Word of God, opposed to just believing everything we hear over a pulpit. We have to study to show ourselves approved. And that way we will be working. It need not be a shame, but we'll be able to rightly divide the Word of God. And a lot of times we don't take the time to really study and get an understanding because most people are more religious than relational.
So for everybody who's out there listening, go into Daniel chapter 10. One, understand that myself, nobody here at the PRF table is telling you that you don't need to do the Daniel fast anymore. So you can go ahead and, you know, let that come up off your spirit. What we're saying is it is so much better to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And I think what I may do, because I'm feeling led, we may introduce some of those other scriptures just a little bit, because I know some folks are on the edge of their seat, like, okay, I get that. Daniel's by himself. He'd been mourning for 3 weeks. The vision came to him during the 3 weeks. Here's the beauty of it. If the vision didn't come to him for 4 weeks, the text would say, I've been in mourning for 4 weeks. So, again, this thing ain't about the time that Daniel did it, as if he – again, you can infer that. You can say, since it was 3 weeks, it came afterwards. I don't want to get wrapped around that axle. I want to say, look, you better understand that when God is ready to speak, if you're doing your part in the fast, then God will speak while you're in the fast. That's all you need to know. It does not have to be complicated. And y'all know, yeah, I'm a doctor, whatever. Thank God for it. I honor it. I understand all that. But I can't let folks just be out here thinking that a lot of this is so confusing when it's really not. Let's just give it to people real. I haven't taken a Daniel fast, so I don't know how much writing is involved in it, but doggone. What else do you need? It's 3 verses. Let's go. Now we're going to wreck some thought processes up. Daniel chapter 1. Now, if Daniel chapter 10 was by himself, was an individual fast, which is just amazing how I can't get off of Daniel chapter 10, I have a problem doing a corporate fast using a scripture that was done by just an individual. It would seem to me, and this is the educator coming out of me, if I'm going to talk about a corporate fast, then why not go to a scripture that deals with a corporate setting, a corporate context?
Right.
Because if not, then that means you have everybody getting their own revelation. Now, here's the thing. If it's about everybody getting their own revelation, why the heck I got to wait until February, second week of February on the church calendar to do
it? Yes, that's it.
Why do I need to do that? And then, it's going to mess up some of my colleagues.
No, go ahead. Tell it to you.
If I do it, and I have that relationship, then now it becomes a part of my lifestyle. So then when you say, because it's on the church calendar, just like revivals, we got revivals every third Wednesday in the month of September. Well, look, you need to be revived when something is dead. Somebody may have been dead back in June, and I got to wait until September for the revival. You better learn how to deal with these spiritual principles and these biblical principles by yourself. Not that we don't need everybody, but doggone, if they ain't being taught, I'm telling you, you're going to have to kind of find something that's going to be able to help you. And we can't even get into start talking about the financial piece unless you got a foundation of just the subject matter, the discipline in itself. I've been at a church. I was a member of a church that we had a fast during one particular time, you know, 21 days before this or whatever it was. And I remember somebody coming into Sunday school, and I was teaching, and this brother said, and we hadn't even been in the fast for a whole week, because I think it started like on a Wednesday or Tuesday. So we come in on Sunday school, and one of the brothers, he was a deacon, he shared how much better he was feeling. He shared what he had abstained from just for a couple of days, and he was just like, I ain't never felt like this in the last 20 years. And so now I'm thinking, now that he's there, just continue to ride with it. But what else does God need to show you in that? Are you now saying, you know what, God, you making me, you got me feeling the best I felt in 20 years, but I need you to show me something else. Huh? Sometimes we can't handle the little bit of stuff. God's like, look, I done already spoke to you. And so now he's still fasting because the rest of the church is fasting. And doesn't have the freedom. Look, I got it. Whenever I stand up and preach, I'll jump out here real quick. I tell folk clear. So if you're listening, you ever invite me, just know you're going to hear this if I've never been there before. I said, look, don't wait till the end for no big bang. I'm just telling you, don't wait for no big bang at the end, because that's just not how I'm wired. I'm going to drop some nuggets along the way. It is up to you to pick them up. If you catch one of those nuggets in the first 5 minutes of this message, you hold on to that because that's what God got for you. But if you wait until the end and you miss those two or three, man, please, you messed up. It ain't because of me. All right, next thing. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. But before we do that, I believe Adia is here with us sitting at the table. Adia is one of the other hosts of the PRF table. Adia, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, my goodness. I know you. Listen, Renee meet Adia. Adia meet Renee. Mama just said it. This is the firecracker of the crew. Y'all hear me, but oh, my goodness. She's been sitting on the edge of her seat. So
I have. So just a couple of thoughts, you know, and I will share, because I think sometimes sharing from a personal level can help people, because, you know, we can read the Bible all day. I will just be totally transparent. My conversation and my prayer, or just, you know, well, prayers talking to God or whatever you want to call it, just talking out loud, whether I'm praying or just conversating with the Lord, is I understand what I read in the Bible, but as we all know, the Bible is so many different things. It is a historical account. It talks about science. It talks about the way that we should live, how to treat one another, what is pleasing to God, and all of those things. So I don't take anything from the Bible. But what I will say is that I think sometimes what gets lost in translation is what was happening at that time in order for that book of the Bible to be in the Bible. And we all know that, you know, the Bible tells that it is the word inspired by man through God. That's why we have the Bible. But I guess some of the questions that I would ask, and I don't mean this in any insulting way, is I, you know, people talk about Facebook. I mean, hey, if you need to take a break, take a break. I took the app off my phone. But I think sometimes some of the questions that I have and that I have asked God is, what are the things that concerns you, God, concerning me? And I think it's important that we ask God that, because when we get his will for us, then we understand the direction that we need to go into. And like the lady said, and I'm so sorry, ma'am, I missed your name, then we can be intentional about where we're going, because we understand the will of God and what he has for us to do. All throughout, you know, when you read about Jesus and what he was doing, it always tied back to the will of God, period. No matter how you try to slice it, no matter how you try to cut it, everything he did tied back to the will of God, because if what we are doing doesn't tie back to his will, then now the question has to be asked, what are you doing it for and who are you doing it for? If it's for somebody to clap their hand and to say, you know, amen, let's run around the church and say that we've completed 21 days, then what purpose did it serve? And did it change somebody's life? So that's the one thing the question that I would have, you know, imposed to all of us, is God concerned about what we're doing? Absolutely. But does it tie back to his will for what he has for your life to do as it impacts the kingdom in our neighborhoods, our communities, and our immediate family, on our in our jobs, whatever it is that we're doing. Will he honor it? Those are questions that I wrote down. Is he honoring what you're doing? Because, again, I love the example that Jesus gave. He said, you know, he said, Lord, God, take this cup from me. And then he came back and asked, you know, after he, you know, came back down to earth in reality, when he understood, you know, okay, you know, God, I'm tripping. Like, wait a minute. Not my will, but your will be done. Even though I want you to take this cup, I still have to do the will of the Father. And it's going to hurt my flesh. But the will of the Father must always be done. And then my other question was, in fasting, are we praying? And this is where me being transparent comes into play, because I have done the corporate fast. I will tell you, my home church back in North Carolina, you know, our pastor, you know, I remember they was like, you know, he said, hey, I've been praying. They don't normally do watch night. Did my little history look. We know watch night services, if people don't know, it is something that is normally done in the Black African-American church. I remember the first time went to a church when we PCS to Virginia and thought the world was coming to an end because they ain't say nothing about having a watch night service, and I was just blown away. I'm just being honest. And then I had to understand, you know, begin to look things up to say, oh, this ain't biblical. Okay, well, thank you, Lord. I'm delivered from this. I'm going to be all right. I ain't going to hell today. How about that one? But then when it came to fasting, our pastor said, you know, I've been praying about this, and this is a church that normally does not do a corporate fast, but whatever God had been dealing with him about as it related to the body, the church, that is why we did that corporate fast. And so, but I had been in churches before that had, it was just tradition. It was just something that you did. And we all know, I mean, just because it's tradition doesn't mean that it's right. Let me make this shorter because I feel like I'm talking a lot. So I remember December 2014. First year being here in Texas. And I'd been praying, you know, because I had done the Daniel fast and was just like, okay, God, I want to do this, but I'm going to pray about it first because that may not be what God wants me to do. I will tell you, if you pray and ask God what he wants you to do, he will answer you. He will answer you. I am a living witness. And so I remember praying a few days before the new year came in because I do believe in seeking God for guidance going into the new year. I want to know what it is that God wants me to focus on going into the next year. Some things that I need to work on, whether it's for personal development, for the body of Christ, working on my job, for my family, whatever the case may be. I want to be in line with the will of God for that following year or for the rest of my life. So this particular year, December, I remember praying, and the Lord answered my prayer. He said, I don't want you to do a Daniel fast. I want you to fast on December 31st for one day, eating absolutely nothing and drinking absolutely nothing but water.
Wow.
Can you understand that when you hear the Father tell you how he wants you to fast, what that does to you mentally and spiritually, to where your flesh has to line up because you know you're in the will of God, and without a shadow of a doubt, you don't have to be bound by tradition. Fast forward to 2015. No, that was for 2015. 2016. Did the same thing with seeking God. I was going, you know, had surgery December of last year. I said, okay, God, I want to do a Daniel fast. I'm going to pray about it. Some things that I had been believing God for, and he said, okay, do the Daniel fast, and I'm going to walk you through this. Now, in my head, I was thinking it was going to start in January. It started the day that I had surgery, December 29th. And see, we got to understand that God doesn't, he deals with us in time, because if he didn't, we'd be lost. Everything is infinite with God. And so when we understand that he is finite, but we make sure, help me out if I'm not saying it right. He is finite, but we are, is that right? Am I saying that right? But we are infinite. We need time to keep us on time, being at the right place when we're supposed to be there, but he is not, then we can understand that he can tell you, I want you to do a one-day fast on December 31st. I want you to do a 21-day fast and start it on December 29th. Or I want you to do one and it's June. Because we understand that he is a God that does not deal, that does not need time to do what he needs to do. He can speak it and it's so. He can speak it today and say it's going to happen in 5 years and that's when it's going to happen, period. All we got to do is stay lined up with the will of God. So December 29th, I did this 21-day fast. But I'm going to add on to that. Several years ago, I had been battling to where I was just like, you know, God, I really feel in my spirit that I need to cut out meat, period. And I was just like, I didn't really know where it was coming from. I've never been a really big meat eater, but at that time, I was just like, okay, God, I'm going to pray about it, and we're going to see what happens. And I felt like for the past couple of years, he had been preparing me to the when the day would come, I would be okay with it. Well, I want to tell y'all, the day has come, and I don't miss it. It took several years. Can we say that even though if God didn't, which he did not give me the day or the time, that I would not no longer have a desire for meat? He knew the day and the time. He knew the year. And so when you understand what fasting is really about, I mean, it's really about developing your prayer life. It's really about the discipline. It's really about hearing the voice of God and being in the will of God to know that when he speaks something, it may not be when you expect it or when you want it to be, but it's really about just lining up with the will of God. And that's what I believe in Daniel, what he was doing. He was seeking God. I say he was mourning. So definitely something was going on that was grieving him to where he said, I got to have direction from God. And so that is just, those are just some things that I have learned from fasting. I think for some people, when they do it as a corporate fast, maybe it is a way, not the way, but a way for them to take them over to where they need to be to further develop their walk with Christ. And for some people, it is tradition. I mean, I traditionally brush my teeth. I'm just saying. I traditionally put socks on when it's cold outside because I don't want my feet to be cold. So tradition doesn't mean that it is what you need to do. It just means it's something that we have gotten used to doing. But it doesn't necessarily have to go that way. And so I am so thankful for everything that has been said on tonight thus far. But I just, those are just some of the things that I was, as I was listening, and I'm looking at where I am now, you know, the last question that I would ask is, what if from your 21-day fast you ready to stop? And I believe, you know, Nate brought it up, you ready to stop on day 21, and God says, no, keep going. What you going to do then?
Well, this is the
tell
thing.
God no.
And here's what I want people. Here's what I want people to see from the scripture. You got to look at it. I can't get away from that chapter 10 right now. The first three verses is one part of a context. Verse 4 picks up exactly what was happening when he saw the vision. So don't read it from 1 through verse 20, whatever the number is. Don't read it all the way through like that. Read it in light of verses 1, 2, 3, because he's just giving it to you. Here's what I was doing at the time I got the vision. In verse 4, he says what he says. Look, I was standing on the bank of the Tigris River. I looked up. I saw a man dressed in linen clothing. His body looked like this. His feet looked like this. He's telling you this is when it happened. He's explaining to us. Remember, Daniel was one of those type of prophets that – you got to sometimes read what he's saying more than once because he was serious, right? He was serious. But here's what I wanted, what I want us to see. Just two more things in chapter 10. I guess I can't really go to chapter 1 right now. In verse number 7, he says, I alone saw the vision. He wasn't with nobody. Nobody else. It doesn't say he was by himself. Because in verse 4, it just says, I was standing on the river. It don't say nobody else was around him. It doesn't say any of that. But when it came to the vision, it says, I alone saw it. So, Adia, like you put out some questions. Here's my question. My question is for folks to think about this. I want to challenge you to find a biblical account where somebody is fasting or abstaining, where God didn't speak or respond. Let me know. Send it, put it on the Facebook page, facebook.com/PRF. But here's what I see. I saw the vision, and he goes to explain it. Now, as we try to help folks in this area of fasting for finances, see, you get the foundation of fasting, then you'll be in a better position. I'm telling you, Renee, they will be in a better position to fast for their finances. They won't have to wait until the corporate fast at church to fast for your marriage. Man, mess around, your marriage on the rocks, and you waiting until the corporate fast in December if you want to, Jack.
Yeah, you got to wait till February, yeah.
Yeah.
You're divorced by then.
Man, I would have been dead waiting on a Daniel fast, for real.
Yeah. But here's what I want to people to be encouraged, because folks need to know that fasting works, right? However it's done, I won't say however, and I'm talking about however and meaning not foolishness, right? But done with a biblical perspective and understanding, folks need to know that it works. Because, and again, let's talk about the subject area, fasting for finances. Some of y'all who are listening, finances tore up from the flow up. I got it. I understand. I've been there. I've had moments where, man, I just had to spend $1,000 a day to get a car fixed. I'm going to spend $2,500 on the car since January. I'm like, Lord Jesus, last week I said, baby, I'm going to buy you a new car next week. I'm tired of putting money into it. I'm like, I ain't trying to work just to be paying the doggone car place. But there's a whole other story. So listen, some folks, I say that because folks need to realize, yeah, this is Dr. Dunlap, this is the PRF table, and we got all these wonderful guests and hosts of this show. But we have stuff we got to deal with too. So listen, I promise you, before this show, as of a couple of days ago, and I was like, Lord Jesus, $1,200 for what? Lord, I told somebody today, Renee, I said, you know, when we have these messages that we got to preach or teach, and oftentimes we got to live through them, I'm like, Lord Jesus, fasting for finances, I really want my finances to be straight because, Lord, I got stuff to do. So I ain't going to wait until stuff break down. No, I need to get something in my spirit. So the way you get in your spirit, go to the Word of God. Find one of these scriptures that we're going to deal with and meditate on it. Here's what I need somebody to hear, or here's what God needs somebody to hear. In verse 10. It says, just then a hand touched me. This is while he's in the vision, right? A hand touched me, lifted me up. He was still trembling. He said, he lifted him up to his hands and his knees. The man said to him, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up. That's a message in itself. Stand up. I'm telling some folks right now, if you stand up with this in regards to your finances, say, you know what? I'm not going to be broke like this. I'm not going to continue to live like this financially. No, I'm saying God wants you to stand up. Some stuff you got to do. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. So the Spirit of God is waiting on folks. But there's going to be some stuff that you got to do. And if you try this way of fasting for your finances, I don't know everything that a vision is going to come to you. I can't say that. But what I know is every time I look at fasting in the Bible, specifically when it says, and somebody fasted, God always responded. So why in the heck would he not respond when you say, I'm fasting for my finances, God? You know I'm broken. I'm tired of this crap. Why would he not honor that for you doing your part? See, y'all looking at me crazy. I know y'all looking at me crazy. Like, he said that, yeah. That's how you got to have a straight-up conversation. God ain't looking for you to be pretty with it. You crying and stuff all broke down in your relationship, you snotting and all that kind of stuff. God ain't concerned about all that stuff. He wants you to be real with him. Look, I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of getting laid off. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of my wife spending money like she ain't got no sense. All that stuff. Tell God what you want. In the deal, you said something so critical. Adia, you mentioned the prayer aspect to fasting. And before you came on, we were talking, look, what is your approach? So listen, I was going to go to Daniel chapter 10. I'll be chapter 1, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I just want y'all to take a note of one verse in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. There's a lot to it. We can get to it next week because we're going to deal with these, so we'll be back and forth. The story of a man who brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus. Jesus was up on the mountain. He comes down. There was a couple of disciples up there with him. The other nine disciples were down there with the father and his boy. They couldn't do what the man brought the child to, which was exorcise his demon out of him. But he says something in verse, I think it's verse 21. Here's what he says. This type of thing only comes out by praying and fasting.
Amen.
Amen.
That's, I mean, I said 21, but maybe it's 29. But he says, this can only come forth by nothing else but praying and fasting. So watch this. I've been asking folks this question for about the past week. I said, hey, have you ever heard of the scripture that says this comes out by fasting and praying? This comes out by fasting and praying? And everybody hears it because that's what people have been conditioned. Now, you can tell me all day long I'm splitting hairs, but I'm going to tell you when the word and is in the middle of a sentence, that means
both.
Something came before and something came after us,
mm-hmm.
right? So what I'm suggesting is this. He says by prayer and fasting. Renee, you already mentioned it.
Yep.
Adia, you touched on it too. You got jokers and jokesses out here fasting for a bunch of stuff.
Mm.
But the prayer thing comes after the fast.
Amen.
They're trying to do it afterwards. No. Let's just, if he says by praying and fasting, then why won't I just pray first and then fast? And then I can incorporate both of them at the same time. But if
exactly.
you go into this thing just fasting and your prayer life is just weak and shabby, and you think because you ain't eating certain food,
right.
No, Joker. You got to do both of them.
Nate, I'll just say this right here. I mean, when you understand what prayer is, I mean, and people have just, I mean, just really simple terms, just talking to God. So I'll just put it like this. If I need to get something from Nate, but I never talk to him, how do I know if he's going to give it to me? I need a response back in order to know if I can go forward with it or not. So how can you fast without getting guidance on what direction to go in your fast? Well, God, you know, I'm believing you for this, God, you know, and I'm just in my prayer life. Like I said, my prayers are just, you know, sometimes I'm just, y'all hear how I talk? That's how I talk to God. Like, hey, God, you know, this is what I got going on. Here's some things that's on my heart that I just want to talk to you about. How can I fast if I haven't even not heard one word? Because prayer is communication, and communication that is effective is when you get a response back. Now, if I just communicate something and the recipient doesn't understand what I said, then I have not communicated properly. Well, thank God that God is God, because he knows exactly what we're talking about, even when we don't know what we're trying to say. You know, and so how you going to pray to God? Or not pray to him, but you want to fast first. Who you doing it for? That's why I said it goes back to, is he honored by what you're doing if you haven't even had a conversation with him and you haven't allowed for him to speak back to you about what it is that you're doing? And so, I mean, can you be spinning your wheels? I think you can. You know, and if you don't get the result that you're looking for, well, my question would be, well, did you pray about it? Well, yeah, I prayed about it. Well, would you hear? I ain't get a response back. Oh, okay. Well, then that kind of helps me understand exactly why you are where you are. And that may not be for everything, but I'm just being honest, and can I be real? I'm not about to not eat what I love eating, and then I ain't do it the right way. Now, that's 21 days I just, you know, kind of wasted. Now, can God use them 21 days? Yeah, he can. I think he can take something out of nothing. Because Joseph said, what y'all meant for my bad, when people scheming and, you know, and plotting against you, he said, God meant it for my good. So something can come out of it. But if, man, I'm telling you, Joel Osteen said, I want everything that got my name on it. If I'm supposed to get 50 gifts on today, I want all 50. I want all 50. I don't want 45. And I don't want 49 and a half. I want 50. If tomorrow he only got one, I want my one. I don't want a half of the one. And I think some, I ain't going to say some, I believe all of what we're seeking God for can be just so simple and just, can you hear him when he speak back? Because what if he tell you, no, I don't want you to do 21 days? Is your world going to come to an end if he be like, I just want you to do 5?
Renee said, listen,
you might get the answer before 21 days, but you sit up here stuck on 21.
And let me say this as a thing of caution for because we want to be responsible, and not about anything that anybody said, but, you know, there's some folks that their faith is not there yet, right?
And they need the 21 days. Yeah.
You may need the 21. So you do your 21 days if that's what you got to do. None of us are saying don't do the Daniel fast. None of us are saying, I mean, Renee may be saying it back of her mind. But some folks, listen, I'm not saying don't do it, right? Because I don't know what you're going through.
No.
But I know that if you're listening to this show, then that means you have a desire for your finances to be in a better place. And what we're saying is, as a precursor for your finances getting to a better place, God can reveal something to you through this whole spiritual discipline of fasting. However, Jesus said praying and fasting. So
Amen.
Why not pray and fast? And so before you just say, you know what, I'm going to start a fast tonight so I can just hear from God. Listen, yeah. How you going to hear from God? This thing of praying means it's a conversation, it's communication with God. You think just because you ain't eating that he going to just be talking to you and just give you revelation like this?
Okay.
That ain't what happened with Daniel.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So listen.
Yeah.
Adia said something that was key and about the hamster wheel. And I don't know about everybody else, you know, but I'm tired of God's people just being on this hamster wheel of religion looking for a spiritual opening. I'm tired of it.
Amen.
I'm grateful. You know what? If folks wasn't dealing with stuff from a perspective of their possessions and resources and finances, this wouldn't be the PRF table. I wouldn't have a doctorate degree in conflict transformation that focuses on this. We wouldn't have been teaching it before I got the doctorate degree. None of this would even be something that we would be doing if there wasn't a need for it. So I want folks to get it. We can talk about prayer all day long. But you can talk about that on another show. We can hit the Facebook page for that. I just need folks to know, we need y'all to know, that the precursor to fasting is prayer.
Amen.
Not praying that God just reveals. No. From the gate, Renee, you talked about being intentional. But Thea wasn't on
Absolutely.
The phone or wasn't on the line when we first started this show. I was an hour ago. And then she mentioned, this thing is about being intentional. Okay?
Huh.
Listen, so Daniel chapter 1. This is an example in Daniel chapter 1 of being intentional. The third year of Jehoiakim's reign in Judah. Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. They're in captivity, right? Takes all of the takes the men primarily, right? Takes all of them back to Babylon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're in Babylonian captivity, right? He's in his kingdom. The king ordered the chief of staff to bring all the young men, because here's the thing. The devil sometimes does not like doesn't even bother fooling with folk that ain't got the strength anymore, right? They ain't got the strength to really be on his side. So if somebody's like, look, I'm already out, I ain't got time for nothing, I ain't trying to do nothing, the devil ain't trying to use you. But when you got some life in you and he know it, let me go ahead and get to this one. Let me go ahead and get to this one because he has a good brain on a head on his shoulder. Let me get with this one because she's faithful, right? So, I don't know what that is. All right. So listen, in that text, right, only the strong. He wants only the healthy. He only wants the ones as good looking like Dr. Dunlap. That's what he wants. He wants folk like me, right? That's what the king wants. So here you got Daniel with these other three, right? Without going through all of it, the king was assigning them food, all these young, handsome men like Dr. Dunlap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Assigning them food that wasn't the food that they were accustomed to eating, right?
Right.
He was putting something in front of their faces, right, so that they can get built up and be strong, but for the wicked king right? Lowercase K, not King of Kings, big K, right? So they were going to be in training for 3 years. So he was going to be feeding them this for 3 years so that after those 3 years, they'd be able to enter in the service, right? They would be able to be
right.
strong and stand, because no king wants shabby folk in the kingdom. That's not a characteristic of a kingdom. So if you're a believer and your finances are in order and you're representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, then you got to know that something is out of order. So now that means, okay, that's the question somebody should be asking. What do I need to do to get in training to train myself up so I look like royalty, right? I mean, you can't take Peter, scripture, look, I'm a peculiar people, a royal peace priesthood, and then you sit up there looking like a pauper. It don't match up in the kingdom. So here we come with Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, right? For some of y'all who don't know, I know a lot of folks know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that's another lesson all by itself.
Yes.
Daniel was determined to not defile his body, right? We talked from the first month of this year, we had a series called Your Health is Your Wealth, and we dealt with how your wealth is affected by the things that a lot of people put inside of their bodies, which later on catches up with them, and it causes them health problems, which affects their wealth because spending money on medication, having surgeries, death, dialysis, all this other stuff. So Daniel said, look, I'm not going to defile my body. I'm not going to take what you're feeding me. So he asked the person who was in charge. He said, look, let us not eat those things that are not acceptable, right? Because he knew this thing was also about God. They weren't acceptable to God. God was watching him too. So the chief of staff, the person who was over all these folks, being all these young men being in prison, he liked Daniel a little bit. But, of course, you know, just like in our cabinet today, right, in our federal government, you got some folk that's afraid of the president and ain't going to say certain things. So he was like, you know what, I'm kind of scared of Trump, right? So I hear you, Daniel. I like you, Daniel, but Trump is kind of serious, and, you know, I really don't want to be beheaded. So he ordered this. So since he ordered it and he's the president, then you got to do it, right? And he's like, look, if you don't do it and you don't look like everybody else is supposed to look, by the time these 3 years is up, then he going to have my head. So I can't do that, right? So I can't do it. But then Daniel went to somebody else. Long story short, he says, okay, just try me for 10 days. Let me try for 10 days to have this diet, not taking what the king has given me. And at the end of these 10 days, just look at how we look and compare to the other men that's eating all the food that the king is bringing to them. He said, now, look, if you try this for 10 days, if you try me on this, then you go ahead and make your decision based upon what you see. Here's the thing with Daniel chapter 1, and I'll be quiet if anybody else wants to just jump in. Daniel, I don't know why he chose 10 days. To me, it doesn't matter. Can you think that if he would have said, try me for 7 days, if that's what God put into his heart, that's the only thing that matters. So you don't have to get wrapped up on the 21 days. What is your heart telling you? What do you want to keep out of your body for X amount of time? This was not just Daniel. This was the other three that was with him, right? So they're all doing this. That's the beauty of it. If we want to do something corporately, let's get on the same sheet of music. It wasn't like one of them, Daniel said, look, I'm going to not eat for 10 days. And another one was like, I'm going to do it for about 5 because, you know, that's all I can do. And another one was like, I ain't going to do it for about 3. And another one was like, you know what? I'm going to try one because I ain't never done this before. No, and here's the thing. It was part of their culture. Fasting was not something that was just brand new to them. They knew what they should have been partaking of and things they wasn't supposed to be partaking of. So it was – but here's the thing. Everybody got to understand that's listening right now that it's not a part of a lot of culture in church. So it's kind of like starting over every time you hear it. Okay, so you're going to fast because the fast is in February of every year, but then you're going to eat like blankety blank for the rest of the year. You're going to fast 21 days before Thanksgiving, but then on Thanksgiving, right, you're going to pig out. something wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
It's something wrong with that picture. And so, long story short, after the training period was over, right, they bring Daniel and the other three to the king. And then the king was impressed with Daniel, right? He was impressed with Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. And they still entered into royal service. Here's the thing. The devil has been, you got to understand, isn't it amazing that even though they did not follow the king's orders, they followed God, the enemy, that wicked king that has them in captivity, still wanted to use them. So I'm going to say this. That's why praying is so critical, because you can sit up there and say, I'm going to pray for my finances, and then your finances get straight, I'm going to fast my finances, but you ain't really been praying. And then when your finances get straight, here comes some folk with their hand out, and you don't know how to respond. You think just because you're doing good. And this is some of the same folk that got you in the situation that you're in, because when you had money, they was always coming to get money, so you wasn't saving money. And so then you had to go to credit cards and all this other foolishness that happens in the financial realm. God is saying, look, I need you to try to do something different. Let's explore the text with me. Forget me. Explore the text with God. Y'all got another whole week before we come back here on the PRF table. If you just take those two, say, okay, where am I need to be at with Daniel chapter 10? Where do we need to be? Daniel chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to talk long enough. Comments, y'all know I would just keep on going.
I think the dialect has been absolutely amazing, because as with anything else that we're going to pursue in a spiritual realm, we need to have a solid foundation. We need to understand why we're doing what we're doing in the body of Christ for anything. So I think this whole conversation about fasting is one that definitely needs to be had and understood, because it's not enough to just partake of anything if you don't know why and the ins and out. And another thing that I think is really important for people to learn about fasting is that I don't think it was ever an optional thing in the Bible. Here's what's amazing. Check this out. The story that was talked about earlier about, the disciples not being able to cast the devil out. It's clear to me in that passage that it says, if you want this kind of power, if you want this kind of anointing in your life, it's going to take fasting and praying. So I think it's optional in the sense that it's going to help determine our level of different anointings or faith even in God, because faith is mentioned as well. They couldn't cast the devil out because of faith, but this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. I think that it shows that the degree in which God will use you or that you will go in certain areas is going to be based on it. But check this part out also. If we look in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus says to them, and when you fast, do not look gloomy. So it wasn't an optional thing. He was teaching them about fasting. Hey, you need to fast. This needs to become a part of your lifestyle.
Mm.
And when we get the very foundational principles about fasting, we can apply it to so many different areas. It's just and another thing that I don't want people to misconstrue is this. I don't want people to think you can say, okay, I'm going on a fast because I want a husband. And you expect to have your answer. I'm going on a fast because I need a new car. I'm going on a fast. That's fine to whatever degree, but understand what I'm saying. When you go on a fast, you have to be mindful of how important the praying part is, because it's not for you to list your commands and demands on God and don't eat until he gives them to you, because it don't happen that way. We have to be in a place where we're opening our spirit, where we can hear. And that's the part that comes from praying. We have to seek the Lord diligently. Daniel said he was mourning. There comes a time in our spirit where we grieve or we mourn about different things. Okay, so you look at it this way. Instead of praying for a spouse, you mourn and grieve in your spirit and say, God, I'm tired of being single. God, I'm alone. God, I'm this, I'm that. You mourn and you grieve in your spirit, and you fast and pray. You talk to God about it, and then you wait. And you listen. You wait to see what he's going to say, how he's going to answer, how he's going to tell you to proceed. It doesn't mean I want a husband, I'm going to fast, and I'm just going to not eat, and God's going to send me a husband. No. He might tell you it's not time. I need to work on you. So in fasting, it's important to be mindful that It's not about don't eat and God gonna give me what I want. No, don't work that way. It's a time of afflicting yourself. Affliction. And we have to remember that. Fasting is a time of afflicting yourself, your ways, your thoughts, your ideologies, your theories. It's not about what we're thinking. So that's why we afflict this flesh, so we can hear from God. So praying is oh so important with it, just so we can hear the right things, not tell God, give God a list of what we want and how we want it, and just don't eat. Because in essence, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're just not eating. It's not a fast that the Lord has chosen. I can't wait till we get to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, because he makes it clear what the kind of what fasting looks like to him. Now,
don't hurt him, Hammer. Don't hurt him, Hammer.
But he'll tell you what it looks like. If you want the biblical application for fasting, he's clear on it. So I just don't want people to think you're going to go into fasting with a list of your needs and wants and desires, and you're just going to not eat. And that's going to kind of make God do it. No, 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 no. It has to be enjoying with prayer and an open spirit, humility, and affliction of your will.
And let me tell you, what's interesting, you brought up another scripture. And again, we have the liberty on the PR table to talk about whatever scripture we want to talk about. So in Matthew chapter 6, if you look at the inscription at the top, at least in my Bible, it says teaching about prayer and fasting. So you go back to chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about the Beatitudes. He says one of the most famous scriptures that I love so much, which is teaching about the law in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 17. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses and of the prophets. You know, I love that. All y'all who've been on the prayer table know I love this one so dearly, because so many folks just don't want to deal with nothing with the law anymore. They just, oh, everything is about grace. Okay, I didn't come to destroy the law of Moses and of the prophets, but I came to fulfill them. So that's a deeper theological discussion about how he fulfills, but he does give us some examples. He talks about anger, adultery, divorce, talks about making vows, revenge, talks about giving, and then he gets to prayer and fasting in chapter 6. So you have that other biblical reference to what Jesus is actually desiring from us. But I understand everybody's not there, so everybody can't just take it as that. But let me come back to Adia briefly. Y'all know this is, I was about to say it's getting good, but it's been good all hour. Adia, go ahead. All right, I'm going to keep on going. She'll be back with us. So listen.
I'm so sorry. I was muted. I'm here. Oh, no.
Okay.
I gave it a turn. Because I might forget it. So I wanted to go back to the initial question that you asked, which I think is so important and relevant, is can you fast for your finances? And at first, you know, I was trying to think, like, have I ever fasted for my finances before? And God brought back to my remembrance, literally sitting here, he was like, yes, you have. Remember, in 2006, I was at the Captain's Career Course in Columbia, South Carolina. And I remember just praying to God, and I was just like, I was so serious. I mean, you talk about was like, you can come to me with some foolishness if you want to. I was exposing, and was just like, I don't have the tolerance for foolishness, because when you are are set out to do what you need to do and get what you need from God, there are certain, you're just not putting up with all kinds of foolishness, to include from yourself. So when yourself tries to tell you some crazy stuff, you'd be like, nah, you need to go sit down somewhere. Let's get back in this word. So I remember praying, and I remember one of the areas that I prayed for, because I was praying for several different things concerning Adia and nobody else. It was for my finances. And I remember asking God specifically in the area of finances was to show me how to give, what to give, if there were things that I wanted, but it wasn't what I needed. Lord, I need you to show me, because I needed discipline in that area. Because a lot of times we have habits that need to be broken, But how do they be broken if you never again go back to the Father to say, can you help me or show me how to do this? I'm telling y'all, my faith is so, like, just going to the fact that I believe that if you got a problem spending, if you got a problem saving, if you don't know how to do, God will show you how to do it. The thing is that you got to talk to him. He will send, either he's going to tell you or he's going to send somebody in your life to show you what you need to do, because apparently you're not the subject matter expert in that area, or you would not have a need to pray for it. And
can
so
I
can.
Here?
Oh, please, yes.
Listen,
I'm so excited.
Renee. Yeah, you've been indoctrinated to the PRF table. This is how it goes. This is not church. And
I'm enjoying
not,
it. I'm
one.
Trying not to jump in because I'm enjoying everything so much. I'm like,
oh
yes,
no,
that's it. That's so powerful. You better talk before I do, Doctor. That was good what she was saying.
Well, you still say it because I'm probably going to hit on something else. Listen, this again, I'm going to go back to the scripture of Daniel chapter 10. God just said, he just ain't going to let me get away from this tonight. He was in this time of mourning at the time the vision came. So it seems like to me, as I read this in Daniel chapter 10, that this was not about Daniel's time, it was about God's time. So, you know the scripture where, help me, Lord. Grabbing a hold to the thigh. I'm not going to, Jacob Russell, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Y'all help me out. Y'all biblical scholars.
Yes, I was
going to
let go. Wrestling with the angels, yes.
Right, wrestling with the angels.
You bless my soul, yes, sir.
Right, so listen, when it comes to fasting, this thing ain't so much about a 2-week or a 3-week thing or even a 10-day thing. If I take the example of Daniel and I'm saying I'm going to do a Daniel fast because that's what's widespread known, then let's say, okay, let me do it for real. Well, it wasn't about 3 weeks. It was about however much time it took. I'm just saying it took 3 weeks because that's where I was when God spoke. So my thing is, again, it's God's timing. And here's the thing. We're talking about fasting for finances, right? I bring that up for this. There was a whole bunch of people in the studio tonight listening to this show tonight because I could see it on the switchboard, a whole lot of people. So the title must have grabbed some people, right? Like, hold on, fasting for, let me see what this is about. Here's the thing. If you're not going to be willing to invest the time to hear what God is trying to say to you about something that you ain't never done before or you don't haven't attempted to do or because it ain't being taught in your church, then you're going to go and try it and you're going to go half cocked. I got to mute somebody. You're going to go half cocked, right? I'm saying it like this. We normally, Renee, probably go for about an hour on the PRF table. That's usually how long we go. Sometimes we go like we're going right now. Sometimes it's going up to 2 hours. Whatever. Let God do what God's going to do. But here's my thing. If you're not going to stick with it for an hour and 18 minutes, why would I believe that when you start fasting for your finances, that you're going to go longer than your next paycheck? You're going to go longer than your next unemployment check. You're going to go longer than your next disability or retirement check. See, folks are in between a lot of stuff right now where things are not going well for them. And God is like, look, I need you to invest the time. Let me take that back. God ain't saying I need you to do anything. If you will invest the time, then I'll invest the time back. But if you're not willing to see and hear what God has to say, you can't expect the same type of results. He was in this thing for 3 weeks when God spoke. You can't give 2 hours to get in the foundation. Something very interesting about, if you're going to use Daniel chapter 10, I don't know why churches do it at certain times, whatever. Y'all do it when y'all do it. But at this time, when God spoke, the day that he spoke was April the 23rd. April the 23rd. One translation says the 24th. But I thought about that. I said, there's a time period, and that time period was so specific that he remembered exactly where he was, exactly what he was doing, exactly the day when God spoke to him. So when I throw out the question on Facebook and I say, hey, this is Renee, this was a couple of weeks ago. I said, if anybody has a good understanding about fasting, please contact me. Send me an inbox message. This is serious. I got one person that pressed like on the page. One, but nobody contacted me. So you know what that lets me know?
Hmm.
There's some folk that act like, here it comes. They act like they really understand what they're doing when it comes to finances. But if you can't explain it, if you can't be like Daniel in chapter 10, no, it was on the 23rd of April. Do like the temptations. It was the 3rd of September, right? If you can't be so specific with it, then I'm really questioning, what was God really saying something to you, or is it just something that you felt? Because folk needed to hear what God did with Daniel, which is why we got it in the Bible. So now listen, everybody's not going to read Daniel chapter 10. Person that they can come in contact with is Renee. So if Renee ain't got nothing to talk to them about what God did as she was fasting, why the heck should I do it? If you can't tell me how God showed up when you fasted, why am I going to do it? What about the young babe in Christ? God bless them. They're going to be all messed up. Oh, what happened? You did this. You've been doing this fast every year. Oh, yeah, God showed us blessed. And then you start asking, what did he do? Well, you know, he gave me life, health, and strength. No, he did that before you started fasting. Can we get something more? I'm just saying. We got to be able to go deeper. We got to be equipped with what people need. Renee, you comment back on a deer. I'm like a deer. Let me stop.
No, what she was saying was absolutely amazing, because it's this whole principle about why we're talking about this. We can fast for everything else. Why not fast about our finances? When we fast, we are afflicting our own wants. And I was a person that had to, when learning to become single, I had to learn to become single in my finances. I had to seek the Lord to teach me how to spend his money, what to do, what not to do. I'm a giver. I love to give. So I still, even in that, had to ask the Lord, help me, teach me, show me how to spend your money, who to give your money to. It all belongs to him. So in my seeking the Lord, in my fasting and praying, studying time, I am very intentional with everything I talk to him about, everything I need direction on. And my finances are definitely one of the things I wouldn't necessarily say I've ever, per se, specifically said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna fast for my finances. But in my fasting times, I have talked to the Lord about my finances. I sure have. Mm-hmm. Teach me, show
Amen.
Me. Help me to be a better steward with your money.
Amen.
And I think that applies for every area in our lives. When we are afflicting our souls and ourselves, and she said it so well, obviously my way is not working, Jesus. Because here I am. I'm still in mourning. I'm still coming to you about this thing. So pretty much I think I need a little help here. So because I'm afflicting my soul, I realize my way is not working. I shut my flesh down, and I go into mourning. I'm praying. I'm crying out to God, Lord, help me, teach me, show me. And that's with everything. Why not the finances? Why not? It's unheard of, per se, to say, oh, we're going to fast the finances. But why not? And when we really get into Isaiah 58 and we talk about being broke free from yokes, oh, my gosh, why not?
Mm.
Why not finances? Why not? If we're going to get broke from some yokes, some strongholds in our lives and the different things that fasting really entails, why not finances? It takes finances to do kingdom work. We need to get that together. So during our time of affliction and seeking the Lord for everything else, finances should be a priority. If we're going to make kingdom priority, finances need to be priority, because it takes money to do kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes money and it takes resources. And you think
Absolutely.
About this. I'm going probably to week three, but I'm going to just touch on it so we can just, you know, mess up somebody's mind right now. As I everybody understands who understands PRF that everything is not about money, right? So as we deal with finances, fasting for your finances, I didn't have to put fasting for your finances, fasting for your resources. But everybody knows that when we're talking about one area, we're talking about all three, right? Finances just work better for the title. So there's some folk that need to fast for more than just their finances, because their finances may not be messed up, but they need to fast about their resources. Okay? Your job is a resource. Where you work to get the finance is a resource. Oh, you got folk that want to that don't know if they should leave the job to go full-time ministry like I've done and all this other stuff, like somebody else on the line is going to do soon whenever God says go and they say yes. We already know that God just operates like that. So, okay, if that's the case, what is the – when am I going to fast for that? Am I going to fast for that when put up a thing that says we're closing down the plant next year? Oh, no, now you want to fast? Okay. We're trying to get people in a mindset, and you have to get it down in your spirit, those of you who are listening, that this is not something that you just do in the time of crisis. When we go to Second Chronicles, they did it in a time of crisis, but it was not the most amazing thing about Second Chronicles 20 to me is that when they fasted because of that wartime situation, you don't read nothing in the Bible where somebody said, tell me what I'm supposed to do. No. You know why? Because it was a part of the culture. Because they already knew it. Because folks already was talking and teaching on it. So when it comes time for a situation that comes up that's not so pleasant, it shouldn't take you having to go through 6 weeks of teaching on the PRF table. Why you go through it? Because now that makes it even rougher. God is saying, look, I need my people to be prepared.
Yes.
And this is just
yes.
one way. This is just one way of God's people being prepared. And here's what also was amazing. The ones who participated in it, you don't find no confusion. And God spoke to somebody who wasn't the leader. Uh-oh. You mean God going to speak to somebody during a corporate fast other than the president, other than the pastor? Yep. Go read the scripture. You'll see it happen just like that. So once we get a better understanding, y'all, of the various different instances of fasting in the Bible, then we are able to say to God, okay, God, in this crisis situation, this is what happened. I am instituting this right now because I'm standing on your word. If you did it for such and such, then you can do it for me. But see, you can't be calling on God at the last minute like that for something that is process oriented, thinking that it's going to work like it did for some folks that don't have it as a part of their culture. Like you said, Renee, you ain't going to pray, but you're just going to stop eating and think God's going to give you. That ain't what he did in the Bible. So if that ain't how he did it in the Bible, and we got plenty of instances of fasting in the Bible, then I think it's well worth it. Well worth saying, you know what? It may not work like that.
Right.
Okay, y'all. I'm trying to come down. I told y'all how I do. I drop them along the way, and then when we're done, we're done. I know we can go on forever and ever and ever, but we want some folk to come back next week as well. So, Miss Renee Higgins, author of It Was Necessary, you have been an amazing guest with us here on the PRF table. We hope that you are able to come back with us and be back with us next week and the week after that. We tell everybody, once you have come on the PRF table, you are a part of us. So we don't have to give you no more invitations. Every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, whenever you want to come on the PRF table, you have a seat at the table. We got a real big table here at the PRF table. I don't think anybody's ever seen it, a table as big as we got. so many chairs and seats around the table. It's just phenomenal. It's like something that would be in the White House. So listen, we're gonna go ahead. I had to get some of that noise out of the way. We're gonna go ahead and shut it down. Renee, again, thank you for being with us, Mama. Adia, we're so grateful for. I'm so grateful for y'all as well. And we just want folks to get it. I want folks to meditate on Daniel chapter 10. I think it would be very, very well worth your time and your investment. And take a look at Daniel chapter 1. And then on next week, when we come back on April the 13th, we are going to dig into either Mark chapter 9 or Matthew chapter 17. I'm believing, Renee, that what we'll do is we'll come into Matthew chapter 17 because Matthew chapter 17 has the place where I think a lot of people are. And so go look at those scriptures and deal with them, y'all. And, again, we'll be back again. Renee, thank you again for being with us and join us next week.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I've enjoyed myself thoroughly listening to you guys. Got me all excited.
I'm going to do something that I normally don't like doing.
Uh-oh.
There's somebody who has said, you know what? I just have to say something right now. And if she is still on the line, I'm going to let her to do that because it's a PRF tape. We can do what we want, right? So, Ms. Ernestine, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I was trying to catch you before the end of the show. I have thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been on the edge of my seat. Please forgive me. I'm thinking about my spiritual mother right now. But real quick, I just wanted to, it's so much I want to say, so I guess I have to come back next week, hopefully. But I just want to tell Sister Renee, thank you. God bless you. I've been personally praying and asking God for some things concerning me and my finances. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, it's something as simple as just having a conversation with the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we can read our Bible, we can study, we can minister to other people, but sometimes it's just to really just stop. And I think it was Sister Idea who was talking earlier who said, the way I'm talking right now, y'all, this is how I talk to God. You know, we don't have to get all deep and spiritual to just have a simple conversation with Him. And I actually earlier today got irritated because I was going through a furlough on my job due to a tornado who hit our city. And unfortunately, for me being furloughed, I end up not going back to work because they end up permanently letting us go. So unfortunately, now I'm in a state of unemployment. And so I had a coworker who worked at a job and was saying to me, well, there's other positions open. Go ahead and apply for that. But she didn't get, because I had already prayed about it and I already spoke to the Lord, and I knew that if it wasn't meant for me to go back, that God had closed that door for me. And she didn't understand that, and I was trying to explain it to her, and I just got so irritated because, you know, her thing was, well, you can work, you can still come out here and work and look for something else. And I'm like, why would I do that? But she didn't understand it. So I just wanted, when I got off the phone with her, I just began to think, and I said, well, Lord, am I in your will? Because I want to make sure that I'm clear with Him, that I hear Him. Yes, at the end of the day, we have bills, and thank God He is sustaining me, He is taking care of me. But I know that for a long time, God has told me to shift, and sometimes whether it's out of fear or whatever, sometimes when we don't shift, He'll thrust you off the ship. You know, I spoke about that many months ago. And so I just look at this as my moment to really, really do what I am supposed to do, what I've been chosen and what I've been called to do in reference to my gift, my talent, and what He said that your gift will make room for you. And I just have not been walking in that. And so it's not taken away from a 9-to-5. But anyway, just hearing the show tonight, I just know, okay, Ernestine, slow down. talk to God. Just really, really take the time out, have this conversation with him, and listen, you know, and put yourself in that space. And that's where the fasting comes from, you know, emptying yourself out as a vessel to really to be able to be filled in, through the Holy Spirit, and let him lead you and guide you. You know, you don't want no flesh, no emotions in the way or whatever. So I just thank God for this show. I think after tonight, it has truly, it's like a GPS. It has turned me around, and I thought I was supposed to go right, but the Lord is telling me something else now. And so I'm going to take this time out and fast and pray and reference not only for my finances, but for my future. And I just wanted to, I can talk, y'all. I can talk. But I just wanted to say I thank God for you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. I want to just encourage all of you all. I know it's not easy, but you are saving lives. You are encouraging lives. And I just want to just continue to add blessings to you. And may the Lord find favor with all of you. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And Mama, we've had a wonderful show.
Yes.
Again, thank you to Miss Renee. We look forward to everybody being back with us next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the PRF table. God bless all of you. We are gearing up for something very, very special. Once we get this initial foundation, and I say down packed, because if you meditate on God's word, it's not going to take all day. You do your part. God is quick to do his part, and we'll see that from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So when we get there, get your mind and your hearts right. So until then, God bless you. We'll talk to you in about a week. God bless you. We love you. Peace.